right beside us missing the hole, you know, but we're looking at the whole picture. So that way we see where we're heading or see where God's heading. So we're going to try, I got to finish my portrait here. I got a polar bear in a snowstorm. So that's all, I just had to do that for my polar bear in a snowstorm. So that was pretty well done. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray before we get into this. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. I pray that you'd help us have a good preview of your words. Help us to see the different approaches that you give in your word. And I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to this book. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I mentioned this morning Luke 24, if you want to take a look at that. Luke 24. And verse 25, that's when the Lord Jesus told these guys about himself all through the Old Testament. Okay, so if we're at a crossroads here, if you look at the four Gospels, okay, you have four different viewpoints of the Lord Jesus. Remember, when the New Testament starts, when the New Testament starts in the Bible, is at the cross. Okay, so that'd be Matthew 27, verse 50. But these are four different viewpoints of the Lord Jesus, and there's 89 chapters in the four Gospels. So if you happen to read one chapter a day, then you're going to go through the Gospels every 3 months. And so in essence, you walk with the Lord Jesus. Now there is a fifth book. Okay, there's a fifth book about the Lord Jesus that's focused on him. And so I want to look at these four books first, okay, and then look at the actual purpose. Okay, you have the first one, obviously, is Matthew. Okay, now Matthew, how does it portray the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, Matthew portrays him to be a king. Okay, if you would, look at Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That phrase, the book of the generation, is found two times in the Bible. The first time is in Genesis 5, and if you read the generational book of Adam, it will say over and over, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, there's no death mentioned. So-and-so was born, so-and-so was born, so-and-so was born. And then it says David, but who is David? Verse 6, the king. So the book of Matthew, and isn't it interesting that God chose Matthew to write about a political king? What was his occupation before he got saved? Okay, so he's a tax collector. Is that not fitting? Okay, and then in chapter 2, verse 2, you have somebody looking for the king of the Jews. In Matthew 4, you have the forerunner of the king. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you have the constitution for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's got nothing to do with Christians, per se. Okay, you'll see in chapter 5, verse 25 or 35, where is the king? Matthew 5:35, in Jerusalem. Okay, and so the king was rejected in chapter 12 when they committed the unpardonable sin. And then the kingdom went into a mystery form. And so you have Matthew where you have the genealogy. The genealogy is of the king. Genealogy, whatever. Okay, so it's of the king. It's a kingly royal genealogy. Okay, the next one is Mark. Okay, you have Mark. Now, in Mark, you have no birth mentioned. And in Mark, he shows Jesus to be a servant. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay, Mark was a servant. John Mark was a servant under the Apostle Paul. Okay, and then they had a little fuss, and then he served under Silas, replaced him. So you have Mark, but there's no genealogy. Okay, that's geology. Okay, genealogy. You know what I mean. Okay, the next one is Luke. Now, is it not fitting? What kind of profession was Luke in? He's a physician. Is that not that fitting that he writes about the genealogy of a man? Okay, and his genealogy is in Luke chapter 3, and if you look at that genealogy, it will run down through Mary, his mother's side, the earthly side. This is the genealogy of the king's side. This is the genealogy of the man's side. Okay, and he used a doctor to give that record. This is the largest one of the four, 20. This is the largest book in the New Testament. Okay, then you have another one, John. Okay, and this portrays him as God. So in this one, there's going to be no birth. Okay, no birth in these two. We have a birth recorded in these two. Okay, the reason why we have no birth in these two is because this is dealing with his ministry, and this is dealing with Jesus Christ to be God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. So the conversation between God the Father and the Son is recorded in Hebrews 10. The conversation between those two prior to him becoming flesh, okay, is recorded already there. So you have those two. That's the basic overview. Now, John is the most difficult of them. Matthew is Jewish from start to finish. You'll see that when you read through there. Luke is more Gentile. Okay, you have the parable of the talents up here, talents, Jewish money, and then you have the parable of the pounds down here in Luke, that's Gentile money. In the parable of the talents, you had the bad guy where he's actually thrown into fire. But in the Gentile one, the bad guy loses his rewards. These are two separate time periods. This one would be dealing with the kingdom of heaven, and this one is dealing with the kingdom of God. This one says strictly the kingdom of God in Luke 19. And if a person doesn't recognize those differences, they get their Bible all confused. Differences is what keeps us safe on the highway, and it keeps us sane in our doctrines. Now, there's another thing. If you would go to Revelation chapter 4, Revelation is writing about the rapture. The Bible word is translation, and the other Bible word would be the first resurrection. Okay, after the rapture, John describes certain things that he sees. Now, you may not see these in the same order that John saw them, but there are going to be four cherubs. Chapter 4, verse 7. Okay, so you have four cherubs. The first one is a lion. So there's the king of the jungle. The second one is an ox or a calf. Okay, of the cursed above all cattle, holy cow and all that stuff. The third one is a man. That's a no-brainer. The college professors might have a tough time with that one. Okay, and then the fourth one is an eagle. So you got those four, the four cherubs. And they're written in the exact order, the way the Bible puts them. Okay, now if you would, let's go in the Old Testament. There are four times, actually five, we'll save the fifth one, where the word branch is uppercase B. Sometimes all the letters are uppercase. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. So what a person can do is, however you have your Bible reading, if you do have a schedule, I would, you know, some people like to read a proverb a day. Okay, so today would be Proverbs 9. Okay, some like to read a psalm a day. So it'll be either Psalm 9 or 39 or 69 or so forth and so on. They read through the Psalms every 5 months. But if you throw in the idea of the Gospels and you do that every day, if you just do one a day, then you're going to read through the Gospels every 3 months. If you do 3 chapters a day, then you're going to read through the Gospels every month. You're going to walk with Jesus Christ. In essence, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ in print every single month. And that way you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in Jeremiah 23, verse 5, you notice the word branch. Okay, it's an uppercase. And notice what that branch is portrayed as. A king. He's a king. Okay, so he's a king, shall reign and prosper. Verse 6, in his days Judah shall be saved. Judah, meaning Judah, not the United States. Okay, Israel shall dwell safely. That's not today, is it not? Israelites don't dwell safely. They got bomb shelters. So there's that one. It's an uppercase B in this context. Raised unto David a righteous branch, uppercase B, and a king. So he's portrayed as a king. Now if you would try Zechariah. When I see things like this in the Bible, this tells me that there's no man smart enough to put something like this together. Okay, Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. Now, in this case, the branch is all uppercase. Okay, the word branch, all uppercase. But it says, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. So that's a no-brainer. So we put that one down here. Zechariah 3, verse 8. And now we go try to Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. Same prophet. Zechariah 6, verse 12. We find the word branch is all uppercase letters. It says, speak unto him, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. So he's called a man here, so we'll throw that one down here, Zechariah 6, verse 12. And then if you would, Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now what this does, it gives us 4 different viewpoints of Jesus Christ. And a lot of times people will be critical of these Gospels, saying that these guys don't give the same account, so they're contradictory. Yeah, but if you had an incident right here, and you had a person standing at each corner, they're going to give the testimony that they saw. The testimonies may not agree, but they complement each other because they're giving a different viewpoint. Each one of these men are given a different viewpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Isaiah chapter 11, it says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch. Now it's an uppercase B. Shall grow out of his roots. And then verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's the 7 spirits of God that Revelation writes about. So here we have the Lord who is filled with the Holy Ghost. So in verse 2, you have the Spirit of the Lord, 1. Wisdom, understanding, 2 and 3, counsel and might, 4 and 5, knowledge and fear, 6 and 7. Daniel chapter 5 gives 7 also. And this is where Revelation chapter 4 writes about the 7 spirits of God round about the throne. So Isaiah 11 verse 2 would be the complete manifestation of what the Spirit of God can do in one's life. Now, this is what people see, these four Gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a fifth book that writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person does not accept or believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ of these four accounts, then they're going to be revealed a different viewpoint of Jesus Christ. And that's the last book in our Bible. It's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ shows us that a person's viewpoint of Christ determines their attitude of sin and or service. Hollywood views Jesus Christ with the morals of an alley cat, so that's how they view him, so that's how they justify their behavior. Okay, some people view Jesus as a lowly Nazarene, so they view him that way, so then they just say he's a pushover. So Revelation is giving us another viewpoint. This viewpoint is showing a sacrificial king who comes in the form of a servant. He is a man, but yet he is God. He's merciful and mighty. He is demonstrating his love. If a person doesn't accept his love, then they're going to experience his hate. And that's at Revelation. The one causing all the chaos, behind all the chaos, the worst time ever known to man in Revelation, is controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 12. He describes him, okay, as a judge. So the book of Revelation is showing a just judge. That's why he has the hair white like wool. This is the custom in England and America, where America has fallen away from it, but in England, the judges will put on them wigs. Okay, and the founding fathers used to do that. Why? Because of the hoary head. So this description of Jesus in Revelation 1, verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as they burn in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. This is not the Lamb of God in the portrayal. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So this is portraying Jesus to be the Lamb of God. John even says that in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But this one is portraying the Lion of the tribe of Judah as a judge. This is another viewpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people need to see this viewpoint of reading Revelation. He is the judge of the universe. Now, how does a person view Jesus Christ? Isaiah 53 describes Jesus this way. He is despised and rejected. When people despise or reject Jesus Christ of here, 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 and here, they will face him here. In 1 Peter, he describes the Lord Jesus Christ as precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. To save people, Jesus Christ is precious. His blood is precious to us. And then it says, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the same which the builders disallowed, the same became the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So this is portraying the Lord Jesus Christ to be the judge. To save people, Jesus is precious, okay? Because we've received his pardon of these four viewpoints of him. To the unsaved, he is despised and rejected. Therefore, they will have the book thrown at them. What's the book? You're going to throw the book at them. It's a common saying, throw the book. Now, in these cases, we have the cherub, which is a lion, which is an ox, and a man, and God. Eagle. Do we have a cherub for this one? He's the anointed cherub that covereth. He was created, Lucifer. And on the second day of that creation, he was deformed to Leviathan. Job, Leviathan. You have him described in Job 41. You see, this is a representative of animals that are in a wild kingdom. This representative of animals of domestic kingdom. This representative of man, and this representative of fowls, birds, and fish, because the Bible categorizes them that way. And this one is representative of the reptilian kingdom. Reptiles. Okay? And that's why in Revelation 16:13, the Antichrist is portrayed as having the spirits of frogs, Geico's little mascot. It's getting it right from this. And you see, this Lucifer in Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Five times he said, I will go up. I will ascend. I will do this. In Ezekiel 38, when this anointed cherub that covereth was in the Garden of Eden, the anointed cherub that covereth, God says five times, he matches them, I will take you down. Five times. He matches the same five. Why? Because out of thine own mouth I'll judge thee. Luke 19:22. So here we got a match, and this is a perfect counterfeit of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was here, the religious world called Jesus Christ Beelzebub. When Beelzebub shows up, the religious world is going to call him the Christ. Perfect match. Now let's look for a branch. If you would, Jeremiah chapter 33. And then five times in the Bible, the word branch is an uppercase. Some of them all uppercase. The others, the first letter is uppercase. Jeremiah 33, verse 15. And then when you see stuff like this, you kind of step back from this little Bible. Step back and like the psalmist said, I'm in awe of that book. Okay, Jeremiah 33, verse 15. In those days... Okay, when you read something like that, it's almost always a second coming designation. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. That's when he's king. That's when he's king. And this is the name of wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Clydesdales, when they come down through the streets during the millennial time period, they're not going to have Budweiser on there. It's going to have the holiness unto the Lord. He's going to get the credit on that day. So Jeremiah chapter 33... verse 15, we'll put that where it's supposed to be, right here, because he is the judge of the universe. So when people reject the pardon of the king's service to mankind, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and he rejects God manifest in the flesh, they're going to face that God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. They're going to face him, and he is going to judge them. And the one that is going to be the first one, he's probably going to judge at that white throne, will be Lucifer. And Lucifer is going to bend that knee, and he's going to confess, he's going to say, Jesus is Lord. He ain't going to appreciate that, but he's going to do it. The Lord's going to make him do it. And these are the four different viewpoints we see of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Revelation, that last one in that Bible, is when a man rejects God's Son, the Lord God is going to judge that man on that day. Okay, we'll stop here and let's pray. Lord, I do ask and pray that you'd help us to be in awe of thy word, like David wrote in Psalm 119. And Lord, I do thank you for a very precise book. I thank you how meticulous it's been put together, how precise it is, how technical it is, but yet how practical. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you for these different viewpoints we have of thee. And Lord, of course, I pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for that. And love to see the show get on the road. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. And when we read through these scriptures, help us to see pictures of you and to walk with you as we read through the words of this pure book that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we got